As you're turning there, I want to welcome and recognize some visitors that are with us today. We're glad to have Chris Matthews visiting with us today. And Shaylia, we're glad to have her visiting. And Brandy Walzak, good to have you visiting. And Joseph Enders, good to have you visiting from Erie. And I know Joe's dad. And last time I saw Joe, I think you were a kid. Now he has a kid. Good to see you, Joe. All right, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to read for you verses 1 through 5. Follow with me in your Bible, please. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today as we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this place. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promises that we find in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to sing praises to your name and we've been able to pray and fellowship. But now, Lord, we ask that as we look into the word of God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person, whether they're in this building, watching, or listening, that, Father, you might minister to our hearts by your Spirit through your word for your glory and our good. I just pray now, my Father, you might be magnified, your Son, the Lord Jesus, might be glorified, your people might be edified, and sinners might be saved, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. When I read this phrase, "the Spirit speaketh expressly," it kind of made me perk up. We find similar expressions only a few times in the entire New Testament. Now we know that the entire Bible is inspired of God or God-breathed. And we know that it is the product of the Holy Spirit. So really everything in the Bible is spoken by the Spirit of God. And if you have a red letter edition, I have a red letter edition, those words in red are no more inspired than the words in black. It's all the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That means God breathed. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so the reader is going along with all the confidence that everything he or she is reading in the Bible is indeed the very Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then they come to this verse that says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly." To me, it's like having something in bold print, or have it underlined, or have it circled to bring a little attention to it. "The Spirit speaketh expressly." Now, this is not any more inspired than any other part of the Bible. It just kind of stands out a little bit. The word "expressly" means distinctly. It means clearly. It means straightforwardly. It means unambiguously. In other words, the Bible says when the Spirit speaks, it is straightforward truth, no hold bars, no punches pulled. You got it? We all know that there are passages in the Bible that we might call hard passages. When the Lord spoke in parables, it was necessary for him to explain to his disciples afterwards what the parables meant. And Peter himself wrote of some of Paul's inspired writings, and he said this, "in which are some things hard to be understood." And indeed, the very Word of God tells us that without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." So the same Holy Spirit that inspired the words is the same one who can illuminate the reader with understanding. And so I looked for other passages with similar phrasing to the Spirit speaketh expressly. I found three. The first one is here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Now the Holy Spirit does not want us to make any mistakes about this. The main concern stated in this verse is the latter times. He says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times." And then he says, in the latter times, some things are going to happen. And those things are that some shall depart from the faith. Now we know that there were in the latter times. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet," here it is, "hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son." So we know that we're in the last days. And the Bible says that in those last days, those last times, some shall depart from the faith. And the Spirit speaking expressly, very distinctly, very straightforward, he's saying, "I don't want you to miss this." The Spirit of God is telling us that during this time there will be those who will not be content with the faith once delivered unto the saints. And they will therefore depart from it. In other words, there's going to be people that are going to say, "You know, I don't like what the Bible says," or, "I don't like that," or, "Hey, this is the 21st century, man, you're going to need to get with it." They're going to say, "You know, that just doesn't go along with our culture. That doesn't go along with our society." And so they'll depart from the faith. Listen, the faith was once delivered. The faith is the faith. Amen. It doesn't change. And so since it doesn't change, there are some who will depart from it because they don't want to hear what it has to say. And in departing from the faith, the Bible says that they will, in this verse, number one, they will give heed to seducing spirits. Now these are evil spirits. These are spirits that are seducing men and women away from the faith. Just like in the garden, when Satan wanted to seduce Adam and Eve away from obedience to God. And so when you depart from the faith, you will begin being seduced by evil spirits. The second thing, it says they will give heed to doctrines of devils. And so you leave the faith, you're seduced by evil spirits, and you give heed to doctrines of devils. That's false doctrine. And then it says they will also speak lies in hypocrisies. They will be those who honor the Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. These false teachers will preach one thing while being another thing. In 2 Peter chapter 2, let's turn there, keep your place, but go over to 2 Peter chapter 2 because Peter talks about them too. He gives us a little more detail on these false teachers during the last days. And remember, we're in the last days. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." That's doctrines of devils. Here it is, "even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." And that, see that? "Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Here are these false teachers, and what they're going to do is this word, this phrase, "make merchandise," in the Greek means peddler. They're spiritual hucksters. They're religious peddlers. And they will peddle their false doctrines for fame and fortune. And then the next thing it says over there in 1 Timothy is not only will they give heed to seducing spirits, and then They'll have doctrines, promote doctrines of devils. They'll speak lies and hypocrisies. They'll be spiritual hucksters and peddlers. But it says, number four, they have no conscience about their fakery and lying. Look what it says in verse 2. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, they can lie with a straight face. They can preach false doctrine with a straight face. They don't even have a conscience about it. I want you to notice also a mention of a couple of their doctrines that are mentioned in verse 3. Two of these doctrines are this: forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, this forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, this can be in a religious world, it can be in a secular world. But they are, look, God clearly states in these verses that both marriage and meats are given by God to be thankfully received by those who believe and know the truth. If marriage or meats are forbidden, it's heresy. It's a doctrine of devils. Now, if you choose not to get married, or you choose not to eat meat as a personal choice, that's fine. That's just a personal choice you make in life. But when it is forbidden, when it becomes a law, a taboo, that's a doctrine of devils. Now listen, Paul was not married. That was his choice. But Peter was married. But to have a rule that you shouldn't get married, that it's a law, that it's a requirement. Listen, you know what I like about God? He's not afraid. God's not afraid of anybody. And God's not afraid to tell the truth. Listen, if you have a problem with the truth, you have a problem. It's the truth. It doesn't change. And God's not afraid to tell the truth. Listen, God's not afraid to offend people. We're living in a world where nobody wants to be offended. Nobody wants to hear that anything they believe or anything they think is wrong, or that anything they do is wrong. God's not afraid of them. God just speaks out. And God said, this is right and that is wrong. This is sin and that's righteousness. Amen. And he doesn't change his mind according to the polls. Amen. Amen. And so God says, here, I'm going to give you two doctrines of devils: forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats. He said, now you got it. Look around, and when you see that, I want you to know what it is. And so the Spirit speaketh expressly so that those living in the latter times will be forewarned and forearmed and not deceived. For along with those who will depart from the faith as preachers, there will also be those who will depart from the faith as listeners. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so here you have this group of people who are the preachers, and that they don't want to hang with the faith. They want to depart from the faith. And then you've got this group of listeners. They don't want to hear from the faith. They want to hear things that make them feel good and make them believe they're good. And so they're a match for each other, aren't they? These people don't want to hear sound doctrine, and these people are departing from sound doctrine. So there you go. And he said, that's what's going to happen in the latter times, in the last days. This describes listeners who no longer want to hear what they need to hear, but only what they want to hear. And they flock to these false teachers so as not to experience the conviction of truth or the reality of their own sinfulness. And so we have this departure in these last days. And the Spirit speaks expressly about it. Let's look at the second. Go to John chapter 16. The second thing that the Spirit speaks, I have direction. John chapter 16, verse 12. Lord Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of what? Truth is come. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it to you. Here is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to direct the believer in the way. And if you remember, Jesus said, I am the way. So the Holy Spirit's ministry of direction is to direct us to Jesus and to direct us through becoming more like Jesus. Amen. To teach us in the way. The Holy Spirit never contradicts anything that the Lord Jesus said. So if the Bible says something clearly, and someone else says, yeah, I know, but they're moving into doctrines of devils, aren't they? Anything and everything that the Holy Spirit reveals is always in keeping with the written word of God and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit did not come to glorify Himself. He came to glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit did not come to speak of Himself. He came to speak of Christ. The Holy Spirit did not come to promote Himself. He came to promote Christ. And the Spirit of God guides or directs us in the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In verses 13 and 14, where the Lord said that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, and then He says that the Holy Spirit will take of Mine and show it unto you, you know what He's referring to here? He's referring to the inspiration in the New Testament and its teachings. See, there are some people like take that verse, and it says He will show you things to come, and they like to think they have the gift of prophecy and that they can prophesy of things to come. That's not what that's talking about. Talking about the inspiration of the New Testament. And when the New Testament was completed, prophecies failed. They stopped. Nobody's getting prophecies from God today. The only prophecy you're going to get from God is right here in the Word of God. Paul explained it like this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep your place here. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul explains it like this in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, let's just stop there for a second. You know, there are things in this world that all human beings comprehend. Well, how can we comprehend them? Because we have the Spirit of man in us. So we understand the things of man because we have the Spirit of man. And now he says, the only way you understand the things of God is by the Spirit of God. So if all you have is a spirit of man, you can't comprehend the things of God because they're only comprehended by the Spirit of God. So he goes on to say this. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that awesome? Do you know that you know things that unsaved people cannot know? You have knowledge and understanding that is foreign to them. They can't get a hold of it. They can't grasp it. It's unavailable to them. They can read their Bibles till they're blue in the face, and they're not going to understand what you understand because all they have is the spirit of man, and these things are only discerned by the Spirit of God. That's why they make so many mistakes. That's why when you read the editorials, you know, the letters to the editors, it gets you so frustrated. These people are writing in and they're talking all this stuff about God and about Christianity, and they're so far off the mark, it just, you know, you want to throw your toast against the wall. Every time I read those things, I say, you know, I ought to write in. But you know, I can't do that. Once I start writing, it'll never stop. Right? But they don't have a clue. Why? Because all they have is the spirit of man. Then he says this, verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but compare what the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See? Man's wisdom teaches you one thing, God's wisdom teaches you another thing. And then he says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And so, you know, I hear people say about unbelievers, they say, I just can't believe they do that. Why not? I believe they do it. They're unsaved. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the knowledge of God. Exactly. And what do you think you did before you were saved? Amen. The reason the false teachers go in the wrong direction is because they are not being led by the Spirit of God, but by the Spirit of man. They're trying to do that which only the Spirit can do, and they're trying to do it with the flesh of man. They lack wisdom of God and only have the wisdom of the fleshly man. They are taught of men, but not of God. They know the things of man, but not the things of God. And so the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there'll be a departure from biblical doctrine. We see it, don't we? The Spirit also speaks and says that there'll be a departing from the direction of the truth. We have less and less Bible preaching churches, not more and more. And we've got, listen to me, less and less Bible preaching churches that are sticking with the stuff, not more and more. What's that indicative of? The latter times, the end times. But here's the third thing, and this is the crux of it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The third thing is deity, denying deity. They deny deity. Now, this ought to be one of your... this ought to be one of your big sticks, everybody. The deity of Christ. You should be able to not only believe it, but you ought to be able to defend it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice right away, it doesn't say no man can say that Jesus is Lord. It says that Jesus is the Lord. There are lords many. But Jesus is the Lord. That means one and only Lord. The main reason that these false teachers depart from the faith and go in a direction departing from the truth is because they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have wrong Jesus, you have everything falls apart. If you have the wrong Jesus, all your teaching falls apart. When you have the wrong Jesus, you worship the wrong God. Now it says here in this verse, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. What does that word accursed mean? Actually, it's the word anathema. The word means an object on which a curse is laid, an object upon which a curse is made or put. And so no one... the Spirit of God never curses the Lord Jesus. Never puts a curse on Him. Never detracts from Him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God came to speak of Him. I think the word Lord here is very interesting. It says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The word Lord is kurios. And the Septuagint and the New Testament, this is the representative of the Hebrew word Jehovah. Amen. So what is the verse saying? That no man can say that Jesus is Jehovah, if we use the Hebrew word, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what does the Holy Ghost speak expressly? The Holy Ghost speaks expressly that Jesus is God, that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is Jehovah God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible tells us there's one Lord. If there's only one Lord, and the Bible says here that the Holy Ghost says that Jesus is the Lord, then He's got to be that one Lord. And if there's only one Lord, there can only be one God. You follow that? So whether we find the word Lord with a capital L in the Old Testament or a capital L in the New Testament, or we find the Lord all capitals, capital L-O-R-D, if we find that, it's referring to the same one in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Because there's only one Lord. There's not a Lord of the Old Testament and a Lord of the New Testament. There's only one Lord. So if the Lord in the Old Testament, everybody agrees that's Jehovah. Then when you move over to the New Testament, you have to agree it's Jehovah over here because there's only one Lord. Are you following that? Remember doubting Thomas in John chapter 20? Remember him? And everybody said Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, well, I wouldn't believe it unless I could, you know, see this, put my hands in the print of the scars and put my hand in his side. And Jesus appeared to him and said, go for it. And you know what Thomas said? Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, the word for Lord here is kurios. And here's something interesting about kurios. After Thomas said that, my Lord and my God, except in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, there is no record that kurios was ever again used by believers in addressing any other save God and the Lord Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Do you remember old Philip? And remember, well, let me, before I go there, I want to read for you Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kurios. To the glory of God. You know what glorifies God the Father? When we confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Kurios. So anybody that does not confess that Jesus is Lord does not glorify the Father. They can say they believe in the Father. They can say they know the Father. They can say whatever they want to say. But if they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, they do not glorify God the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 is stating that the Holy Spirit says that Jesus is kurios, or Jehovah. And when the Spirit of God speaks of Christ, He recognizes that Jesus Christ is God. Now, do you remember who inspired the Bible? Who inspired the Bible? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit say about Jesus Christ? Well, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that pretty clear to you? The word God here is theos, which means deity or divinity, and the word and is kahi, used in a cumulative force, which can be also rendered also or even. So let me just read that for you. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. Huh. See, that word and isn't saying the great God, number one, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, number two. It's talking about the great God and our Savior. You see? My wife can say, my husband and my pastor. Not two different people, right? It's one person. That's what this verse is saying. That's what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. The word manifest, phanerao, it means appeared or show oneself. And so the Bible says that there's no question about it. It's without controversy. It's irrefutable. God showed Himself in the flesh. God appeared in the flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John 14, 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father?" Remember old Philip. He said, "Showeth the Father?" And Jesus said, "Here I am." He said, "How long have I been with you, Philip? And you still don't know who I am? I'm the Father." You say, but don't figure... No, no, don't go there. You can't figure it out. You got a pea brain human thing going on up there. You're going to try to understand the depth of the triunity of God. You're going to end up somewhere you don't want to end up. You know, it's by faith, isn't it? So Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God, my Kurios and my Theos." Thomas declared Jesus was the Kurios and the Theos. He is the Lord and he is Jehovah. Now I want to close with Matthew chapter 10 because I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 10. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. The Bible says, "But whosoever," Jesus speaking, says, "but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, what do you think that means? The word deny here is arna omahi. It means to reject, to refuse, to disavow. Now, this is not referring to a one-time statement under duress or in danger. Remember Peter? Huh? Peter denied the Lord, not just once, but three times. It's not talking about a one-time statement of denial under danger or pressure or duress. And it's not referring to having at one time denied the Lord, only later to believe. See, there may be someone at this point in their life, they're ignorant and unlearned, they don't know about Jesus, and they just, you know, deny that they need him. But then over here, something happens in their life and the Holy Spirit of God convinces them of their sin and of judgment to come and they trust Christ as their Savior. I'm not talking about that. This is referring to rejecting the Lord Jesus for who and what he is. What is he? He's deity. He's God. He's Jehovah. In other words, if you leave this world and you have not acknowledged Jesus Christ and you do not, let's say there, now if you don't get saved, if you don't trust Christ your Savior and you die in this world, you're going to wake up and you're going to go to the lake of fire forever. That's just, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What he is saying here is he's saying, if you live in this world and you leave this world having denied the Lord, he will deny you. All the false prophets and all the false preachers of all the ages are going to be denied. Why? Because they denied Jesus. What do you mean they denied? They denied him to be who he is. Anybody that teaches that Jesus isn't God, that's denying who he is. And anyone who says they don't need Jesus as a Savior, that's denying who he is and what he's done. There's nobody else. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if someone says, "I can get saved this way," and it's not by faith in Jesus Christ, they're denying him to be who he is. So he said, you know what? If you leave this world and you haven't been saved, you haven't trusted Christ your Savior, you haven't confessed him, he'll deny you. Matthew chapter 7 says this, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, everybody's going to recognize Jesus when they meet him face to face. And everybody, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That means they're all going to say, this is Jesus is Jehovah. All those who deny that Jesus is Jehovah, every one of them one day will say, Jesus is Jehovah. Every sinner who didn't need Jesus in this world, one of these days are going to bow before him and say, you are Jehovah God. But it'll be too late. They'll say, we know who you are. And they'll say, but I never knew you. You see, he doesn't know you as his child. He doesn't know you as his unless you've come to him and trusted him as your Savior and been born into his family by the Spirit of God, by grace through faith in his finished work. The Spirit of God speaks and warns of false doctrine preached by false teachers. The Spirit of God speaks through the Word, and he has inspired and illuminates the believer in the right direction. The Spirit of God speaks through the lips of believers, declaring that Jesus Christ is God. The Spirit of God speaks expressly. He leaves no doubt and will accept no excuses. You either hear him and agree, or you don't. But it's your choice. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christian, do you see how you see why doctrine is so important? Because there are doctrines of devils. Do you see why it's important that we contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints? Do you understand, dear Christian, the only hope for lost sinners to escape an eternal fire for the judgment of their sin is that the true doctrine of the grace of God and salvation by grace through faith continue to be preached? Do you see why it's so important to stand? Do you see how important the leading ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the lives of believers as he illuminates your mind to the Scriptures? Do you see how important Bible reading is? Do you see how pivotal the deity of Christ is? Maybe this morning as Christians we need to come and say, Lord, sometimes I get so caught up in everything else that's going on around me, I forget who you are. I forget to call on you. I forget to talk to you. I forget to read your word. I forget to tell people about you. Maybe here this morning and you've never been saved. You've never been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are many false teachers and hucksters peddling their false doctrines that condemn men's souls to the lake of fire for all eternity. Corrupt men that pervert the word of God and make merchandise of you for their own gain. You have a choice. You can hear them or hear God. You can be blinded by their lies or illuminated by the truth. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God wants to give you a gift. But you have to receive it by faith. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what God wants you to do today? He wants you to become his child by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and calling on him to be your Savior. And he wants you to do it right now, right where you sit, in your own heart and mind. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure you'll ever go to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Lord, I need to trust the Lord as my Savior. I need to be saved. I'd like to help you. If you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior right where you sit, I want you to look up at me right now. Just look up at me. We'll talk for just a couple seconds. You'd like to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You look up at me. Is that what you'd like to do? Just look up at me. I'll see you and you'll see me. And we'll pray together. It's not a magic prayer, but it's a prayer of faith, trusting Christ. Anybody like, you need to do that? Okay. All right. Keep looking up until anybody else. If I didn't see you, raise your hand up. I saw a couple. All right. Now listen, this isn't a magic prayer. It's a prayer of faith. And God looks on your heart. And if you believe what we pray in your heart, God sees that. And he accepts your faith. and he'll give you the free gift of eternal life. Why don't you just bow your head, pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I'm deserving of salvation and unable to save myself. But I believe Jesus came to earth and died and shed his blood to pay for my sins and rose again. And he offers me the gift of eternal life. And right now, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and I receive the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me." If you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, would you look up at me again? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Trusting Christ as your Savior, you were born of the Spirit of God, and now you're a child of God. And he says this, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish." Father, I thank you today for the truth of the gospel. I thank you for these who got saved today, and I pray you'd bless their hearts and encourage them in the Lord. And now that your Holy Spirit is dwelling in them by virtue of their trusting Christ, their Savior, I pray that they would have that assurance, and I pray that, Father, you'd help them to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians, that, Lord, every day we'd remember who Jesus is, every day we'd be thankful, and every day, my Father, we would submit ourselves to you. I pray you'd guide and direct in the invitation as only you can. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing number 467 in your hymn book. 467. Now listen, as we sing this hymn, I want to encourage you as a Christian. Maybe you'd like to come and just get before the Lord for a few minutes and pray and thank him for saving you. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for being faithful. And thank him for being God. And maybe you'd like to come this morning as a Christian and say, "Lord, I need to remember you more often and talk to you more often. And I need to read your Bible more often. Why don't you come?" And I'm going to ask you to do something. If you trusted Christ as your Savior today, you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, I'd like you to come up here and stand with me and let me tell everybody what you did. That'll glorify Jesus. That'll honor him. You think you could do that? Take your courage in both hands and come on up. Let's tell everybody you got saved so we can pray for you and encourage you as we sing on the first.